Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley this week, we take a deeper dive into the lawsuit that the Eau Claire School District's involved in against the state legislature regarding school funding. That's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley this week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening. Earlier this week, the Eau Claire Area School District offered an informational session regarding a lawsuit they're a part of. On hand were members of the Law Forward legal team explaining why the lawsuit's important. We'll hear from three members of that team. So the Eau Claire Area School District is among five districts in the state suing the state legislature, claiming the state has failed to meet its constitutional duty to provide equal educational opportunities. The district alleges that years of underfunding has shifted the burden of paying for public schools to taxpayers. Law Forward legal counsel Taylor Gilbertson begins to lay out their case.
The percentage of economically disadvantaged students across the state is rising. Research shows that students who are economically disadvantaged need additional resources in schools in order to have the same access to education that their peers do. This means that schools need to provide more. The increase is across statewide, and right now there is no dedicated state funding to provide for students who are economically disadvantaged.
Gilbertson says
the percentage of economically disadvantaged students is very highly correlated with the percentage of students that are meeting proficient on ELA and math testing.
And Gilbertson says another group being harmed is English language learners.
Right now, 86% of districts have students who are English language learners. However, only 58 of those districts actually get any aid from the state to support extra resources and curriculum to support those students. And that support is only reimbursed at a rate of 7.92%.
Law Forward Policy Counsel Rachel Snyder says,
and all of that means is that the state legislature is pushing its responsibility onto local taxpayers. So I'm sure you know, but everyone can see, the numbers have showed us that the number of referenda has increased dramatically in the last several years. But I think what's most concerning is not just that there have been many more referenda, but it's the kind. School districts used to go to capital referenda, put those on the ballot when they needed to do big capital projects. But we're seeing now is more and more districts are going to operational referenda. They're asking local taxpayers to foot the bill for just general operating expenses. And they're doing that over and over and over because the authority to generate that extra revenue locally expires. And so what we're essentially doing is funding our education system differently from district to district based on each district's willingness and ability to continue approving property tax increases.
And Snyder says,
and all of this is happening at a time when the state continues to refuse to provide additional state aid. So the last time that we had a dramatic decrease in the amount of state equalization aid was 2010, 2011, around a time when the state was dealing with a major budget problem after the financial crisis of 2008. And we're seeing that in the last cycle, the last budget cycle, the state did not put any more funding into equalization aid. Now, again, we need to put all the caveats on here that this presentation does not take into account what happened this week. So we will have to evaluate that and sort of adjust some of these numbers, I think. But the reality at the base of this is still the same. The state is not providing enough in equalization aid, and when the state provides none, that actually means school districts get less because inflation keeps going up, right? So their buying power is going down. So even if the state provides the same amount it provided last year, it's not worth the same. And this is happening now when the state has a budget surplus.
Rachel Snyder of Law Forward, their legal counsel, her reference to what happened this week was the deal initially announced on Monday between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican legislative leaders, Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue. However, as you likely know, that deal ultimately failed. It was rejected in the state Senate, so no concerns about a temporary bandage on the issue of school funding. It didn't make it. Meanwhile, Law Forward's Taylor Gilbertson says...
So this is all to say that one of the main reasons that we see this as important and something that is worth suing over is that public education ensures democracy functions in Wisconsin.
Gilbertson says...
Public education provides the foundation for an educated citizenry that leads to, like Jeff said before, a strong workforce, strong economies, strong families, and strong communities. And so we think that this is ultimately a democracy issue, ensuring that public schools have the resources that they need to educate all of the students in Wisconsin.
Now, one of the questions asked at Tuesday's forum at South Middle School in Eau Claire, the information session, was how does the school funding revenue cap get changed for districts like Eau Claire and others that are thought to be at a disadvantage? Law Forward's Rachel Snyder.
There's a couple of different pieces that go into that. School districts were largely capped at what they were spending in the early 90s, as Jeff said. And over time, there have been times when the legislature has approved increases in different ways. One of those is that there is a low revenue, what they call a ceiling, which is just a confusing way to think about it. But it's essentially it's a floor. And if a school district's revenue limit was below that, then they can take advantage of the ceiling and raise their revenue limit up to that, whatever the base is that the state has established. So districts, and I believe Eau Claire is one of them that has taken advantage of that over the years, that has changed periodically. The other thing that districts can do is that if they go to referendum, they pass an operating referendum and they pass a recurring operating referendum, so one that doesn't expire, that gets factored into a district's revenue limit and generally increases it then moving forward. But as I said before, districts are hesitant to do that with more and more frequency because taxpayers are feeling the burden and are maybe not likely to vote yes on a referendum that looks like it's going to be forever, right? So we have districts that have vastly disparate revenue limits as a result of all kinds of changes over time, some of them by the legislature, some of them by local taxpayers approving recurring referenda.
The Jeff that Snyder referred to is Law Forward's senior counsel, Jeff Mandel.
The relief that we're seeking in the lawsuit would change the way things work in Wisconsin, would benefit all districts. Well, I don't want to overpromise that. There might be a couple of districts where the revenue limits are so high and things that they might prefer things the way they are. But it will benefit. You do not need to be a plaintiff. Let me put it that way. You do not need to be a plaintiff to share in the benefits of this. So we welcome conversations about other communities that might want to be part of this. As Rachel says, we won't make any promises, but we're happy to talk about it. But even if you are in a community that is not named on this slide or a future version of this slide, that doesn't mean that things won't get better if the lawsuit succeeds.
In a lengthy but important answer, Law Forward Senior Counsel Jeff Mandel explains why when it comes to funding special education, school districts are really in a bind.
Because districts are obligated by law to provide the services that students need. As Taylor talked about before, what we see just descriptively in our school population, this is not unique to Wisconsin, is an increasing percentage of students who have special needs, and an increasing, within that, an increasing degree of need within that population as well. So schools are facing significant increases in what they have to spend on special education. But the state is funding special education through a some certain account. So if they put $500 million into the account for the year, and school districts in Wisconsin, all told, all 421 school districts, have expenses for special ed students that are $1.5 billion, then everybody's going to get 33 cents on the dollar back because there's only a third as much in the some certain account as the expenses. The legislature has, across time, at least occasionally, in response to pressure, agreed to try to increase, or they've agreed to increase the amount of money in that some certain account. And when they do so, the way they generally talk about it is trying to get to a higher reimbursement rate. So they will say, we're putting enough money in so that we believe we're going to get to 42% or 45% or 50%. But Chris's question, which I think is descriptively accurate for the last generation or so, is that those projections, almost always, they fall short of them. So they say we're putting in enough money to pay 40%, but then when they actually get the bills, they only pay about 32%. So what I think Chris is getting to is the announcement yesterday is that they're going to be able to pay 42.5% this year and 50% next year, but almost every year when they set those numbers, they fall short. You might remember it wasn't that long ago that the legislature and the governor passed a budget, right? It hasn't even been a year, and they promised that this year we would be at 42 and next year they'd be at 45. Was that the original projection? But this year we're under 30. The DPI says we're going to be under 36, and they don't even know yet because the bills haven't all come in. So it's really difficult. And one thing that I know the Wisconsin Public Education Network has worked hard at, and some others have talked about, is maybe because school districts cannot control how much they spend on special education, it's a federal mandate. They have to meet these obligations. Maybe that should be a self-sufficient budget item. Maybe the state should simply be saying, whatever it costs, we're going to pay you X percent of that back. And I will note, the legislature is aware of this problem. Okay, if you all know that in this state, we pioneered voucher school programs. We have expanded those programs massively over the years, and there's room for different people to have really different feelings about that as a policy matter. But if a student goes to a voucher school and that voucher school provides special ed, the state reimburses that at 90 cents on the dollar. So the legislature recognizes how extreme these costs can be and how difficult it is for institutions, educational institutions, to make these expenditures if the money's not getting reimbursed. But they treat the voucher schools that provide these services, and there aren't a whole lot of them, but there are some, they treat them radically differently than they treat our public schools that have to provide these services for every student who needs them. Oh, and yes, and Rachel points out, the 90 cents on the dollar for the voucher schools, that account is some sufficient. So no matter how much the voucher schools spend on special ed, they will get 90 cents on the dollar because there is no limit on how much they spend on that.
Law Forward Senior Counsel Jeff Mandel from Tuesday's information session provided by the Eau Claire Area School District regarding the lawsuit that they're involved with against the state legislature, claiming the state has failed to meet its constitutional duty to provide equal educational opportunities. Now, while the members of the Joint Finance Committee, as well as Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Democratic, Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu are mentioned in the lawsuit, it's not like it will follow them out of the legislature, as both Voss and Lemahieu and a number of elected officials have said they're not seeking re-election. So, in fact, it could eventually transfer to whoever steps in, and maybe a member of another party, the Democrats, that would step in to be Speaker of the Assembly or Senate Majority Leader. I asked Rachel Snyder to comment on what it'll mean for the lawsuit if Democrats gain control of the Assembly and Senate in November.
When the control of government switches political parties, the reality of governing is not something that's necessarily easy for the new political party in control. And so we do have to remember that although Republicans have had majority control for a significant number of years, if we go back far enough, we'll realize that things like decoupling from the decoupling the revenue limit from inflation and getting rid of the two-thirds requirement. I do believe both of those things happened under a Democratic governor. Mm-hmm. And so shifts in political power theoretically could result in some members of the legislature being more supportive of public education, but facing the realities of governing and how to deal with a new budget, especially at a time when the economy feels shaky, may mean that they are a little less likely to support increases in funding that they support now when they don't have control.
Finally, I asked Law Forward legal counsel Rachel Snyder, where are their cases at right now?
So the case right now is at a point where there have been motions filed for intervention and a motion to dismiss. And so those topics are being briefed now. There is a hearing on the intervention motion scheduled for May 27th. There is a hearing scheduled on the motion to dismiss issue in July, on July 13th. And so not until those matters are handled and court has made a decision about those would the lawsuit really proceed forward with any sort of real action.
That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. Again, tonight, covering the Eau Claire Area School District and the public information they held this past Tuesday to discuss their lawsuit over funding. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.